This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
The Single Mom Success Podcast, Episode 7. Heather Wells and the Single Mom Blog present Single Mom Success, the place for single moms to find support, inspiration, and the path to their own success. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Single Mom Success Podcast. I hope you all are doing fabulously. And I actually wanted to jump into today's topic because it's one that is very, very important to me, something that has made a significant difference in my life, my success, and just kind of how I feel in general. And it's kind of interesting because this was on my list of topics that I wanted to do a blog post, or sorry, a podcast about. And it's funny because it just sort of popped into my Facebook feed today, and it was just kind of fate. I thought, well, since it's there and it's something that I had been thinking of doing a podcast about, why don't I just do it? Apparently the universe is speaking to me today. So one of the things that I have found that has become just instrumental to my success, not just as a single mom, but just in general, I think this is a good suggestion or, you know, policy for everyone, just to feel better about yourself, feel better about your day, feel better about just in general everything. And that is to get rid of the toxic people that are in your life, or develop ways to handle toxic people. And again, this came up in my feed, and it's actually a blog post that was done in entrepreneur.com. It was an article, 12 ways successful people handle toxic people. And so it, like I said, it was just sort of kismet that it fell into my lap. And if you can, I suggest that you go read it, and I'll put a link to it in the post. But it definitely covers a lot of things that I found were just super helpful in just handling people who are toxic. And some people I actually just had to get rid of completely. You know, it's unfortunate. And you never like burning bridges. You never like, you know, cutting ties, you know, especially if it's with people that you've been friends with for a really long time, or, you know, that played a really large part in your life. It's very difficult to do. But there are just those people in life who are very toxic for you, who are very emotionally draining, who are what I call emotional vampires. They're those people that when you're around them, they just, it feels like they sort of suck the life out of you. And they are the people who are constantly complaining, who never have anything positive to say, who are always angry or very bitter, you know, and just don't seem to have any sort of a positive side to them. They're very, very difficult to be around. And when you, if you notice, if you have anybody like this in your life, you'll notice when you're around them, the way you feel is different. You feel differently when you're with them. I had a friend who was a really good friend for a really long period of time. And, you know, she had some very, you know, unfortunate things happen in her life. And it just sort of, it was something like she just couldn't quite recover from. And she spent a good part of her time very upset, very unhappy, moping about her situation, but never really appearing to want to do anything about it, or, you know, stating that she wanted to do something about it, but then never actually took the initiative to do anything about it. So, you know, if you've ever been around one of those people that just complains and complains and complains and complains, and you try and be the supportive friend and you try and be helpful and you're like, well, what about this? Or what about that? Have you tried this? Have you, you know, you offer suggestions, you know, maybe you try to be that positive influence to try and, you know, help them get over the hump or, you know, whatever it is that they've got going on. And you do all of that and you put a lot of energy into being that supportive and helpful friend. And then you just watch them, you know, completely, you know, still not do anything to change your situation, still not do anything to make things better, still not do anything to, you know, bring about any type of change for themselves. And yet they still come around complaining, oh, poor me, or oh, this sucks, or, you know, life is bad. And, you know, and they, but you sit there and you're like, you know, we just, you know, this is how I felt. I was like, we just had this conversation. We literally just talked about this, you know, a week ago, 2 days ago, you know, 5 hours ago. Like, what's going on here? I don't understand how you are so unhappy, but you're not willing to do anything to change it. You're not willing to make things better for yourself. And so those are the people that I've had to sort of step away from, because it's, you know, I look at it, I'm like, I've got 3 children that I'm trying to raise into successful, happy people, and I just don't have the energy to try and help you be a successful, happy person. When you're not willing to do it, like, I can't do it for you. And it's just, it's so draining to be around somebody who is completely negative on a regular basis. And so dealing with that toxicity, you know, as far as, you know, just not being, I don't know, I guess I can't really explain it. It's so difficult for me to understand. I mean, I've had my moments where I've been really down in the dumps and I've been really upset or unhappy with the way my situation was, but it was never something where I sat there repeatedly, day in, day out, just completely miserable about it, without being willing to do anything to improve my situation, right? So it was really hard for me to understand. It's really hard for me to deal with. And it was just, it was one of those things where every time this person would come around, by the time they left, it was just like, ugh. Like, I felt like I wanted to take a nap because I was just so drained being around somebody who was just so, like, miserable or unhappy or toxic. And you know, then there's those that they are the person who bring out the worst in you every single time. You know, my ex is, you know, when we were together, it was one of them. He was one of those people that, you know, just brought out the worst in me. And, you know, obviously I have to be responsible for my actions and the way I behaved and the things that I did and said, but it was, he was one of those person that just, he was one of those persons, one of those people, sorry, not enough coffee. He was one of those people that just pushed my buttons. Like, he went out of his way a lot of times to try and figure out what it was that would set me off, that would push my buttons and start a fight. Even if it was to accuse me of being the one who pushed buttons to start a fight type of thing. And, you know, we didn't bring out the best in each other, and we were toxic for each other. And so, I really, really like this article. And again, I'm going to put the link for the article in the post, because it really stresses several points that were very critical for me in being able to manage it. And so it's, I think it's like the top 12, the 12 ways successful people handle toxic people. And the first one is they set limits, for, especially with complainers. Complainers and negative people are bad news because they wallow in their problems and fail to focus on their solutions. So exactly like I was talking about my friend, you know, they focus only on their problems, but do not focus on solutions. They don't want anybody to help them. They just want to, you know, wallow in their little pity party and please feel bad for me and please do for me and please. And, you know, they say it in the article, you know, you don't want to call them out on it because you don't want to seem as rude, but, you know, it's just, it does get to a point where you've got to be like, look, you know, and I had to tell this friend that, you know, I said, you know, I know you don't, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to help you. I've offered suggestions, I've offered support, but it just seems that you don't want to do what needs to be done to improve your situation. And I can't keep going through this with you because it's taking all my energy and it's not okay. You know, and so the article states, you know, set limits, distance yourself when necessary, And think of it, if the complainer were smoking and you didn't smoke, would you sit there all afternoon inhaling secondhand smoke? Which is very true. I mean, if what's going on with them is literally bringing you down, why would you sit there and continue to spend significant amounts of time with them, letting them, if you're not able to bring them up, why would you sit there and allow them to bring you down, right? I mean, in all honesty, if you want to be a supportive friend, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But if they're one of those people that no matter what you do, their mood is not going to improve or their situation is not going to improve because they don't want to take the actions necessary to do it, then why would you continue to sit there and let them bring you down and make you feel worse, right? So, the next one is, they put in here is, don't die in the fight. People know that it's important to live to fight another day. So, you know, sometimes, like I said before, you just gotta be able to, you know, choose your battles wisely and walk away when you need to and, you know, fight when you need to. And this one is good with relationships and things like that. You know, if something's going on and you are not able to, if you're in an argument where you know you're not going to win, there is no, or you feel like you've just been, you know, beating your head up against a wall, why would you stand there and continue to beat your head against the wall? I mean, that's, so sometimes you gotta pick and choose your battles and know when it's time to just walk away to be able to come back to it another day or just hopefully, you know, find some other alternative situation. But, you know, don't keep beating your head against a wall. It gives you a headache. I mean, to be honest, there's no reason to do that. The next one that they put is to rise above. They rise above, you know, people, it says toxic people drive you crazy because their behavior is so irrational. And yes, it does. It totally, like, I would go insane dealing with some people because I'm sitting there going, I do not understand why you don't just do this one thing. If you do this one thing, it will get better. Like, if you can just do this one thing, and it does, it really just, it would drive me crazy. And I would get so emotionally attached to it that I would go nuts. I'm like, and be so frustrated and so, like, angry, literally angry. And this is somebody else's life. This is somebody else's life. It's not my life. Like, I was angry and frustrated because that person wasn't doing the one thing I knew, or, you know, the one or two things that I knew if they just did would make life better for them. And I was so angry, like it was my own problem. And it wasn't. It wasn't my problem. And I couldn't get past that. Like, it was so frustrating to me. And so being able to kind of take that step back and remove yourself, right, is, you know, and the article says distance yourself from them emotionally and approach your interactions like they're a science project, right? Like, you're just observing it. You're not living it, right? But I was so sucked in to what was going on. Like, I allowed myself to start really emotionally becoming involved in what was going on with them that, like, it made no sense. Looking back at it now, I can sit here and go, my God, I was so angry and so frustrated, and it wasn't even my life. Like, it wasn't my problem. It wasn't my issue, but I was just as upset as if it was something that was happening to me. And, you know, and for some people, it's really hard not to do that because you're very, you know, intuitive, you're very emotive. And, you know, and I understand there's a lot of people like that who are very, very, you know, emotionally in tune with other people and very sensitive to that. So it is extremely hard for people like that to distance themselves. They get very emotionally involved in the problems of their friends and the problems of others. The problem with that is, though, is that it's draining, you know. It's not as if I have no problems of my own, and so I have the, you know, the strength and the inner strength and ability to take on the problems of 3 and 4 or 5 other people who are my friends to where it will emotionally drain me to deal with their problems. I have my own stuff to deal with as well, and if I'm allowing myself to get that emotionally involved with what everybody else is going on, I'm not putting enough attention to what's going on with me. And I did. I got to a point with myself where I had to step away from the friends that were causing me the problems and the drama. And, you know, when they didn't understand, they're like, well, I don't know why you're not talking to me anymore. And I don't know why you're... And then I had to kind of explain. I'm like, I have to be able to focus on me. And, you know, you've got whatever problems going on that you've got going on. I can't help you with those. I've tried to offer suggestion. I've tried to offer support. And it's become emotionally draining for me to be involved in your problems. And I can't do that anymore. I have to focus on myself and my kids and take care of us emotionally. I mean, I'm responsible for the emotional well-being of three children, right? Like, that's draining enough. And those are the people that I should be responsible for. Those are the people that I should be able to, you know, if they're hurt or they're having problems, those are the people who should get my emotional energy, not the grown adults in my life who should be able to take care of themselves, right? So definitely being able to kind of rise above and step away and like emotionally distance yourself is super important, because that toxicity and that just that it, and again, it, I say toxicity, but it, and because it sounds like a bad thing, but it is, it's very toxic for you emotionally to take on other people's emotional problems like they were your own, right? Which kind of leads to the fourth point that they make, is to stay aware of your emotions. Again, making an emotional distance and being aware. You know, you can't, they say you can't stop someone from pushing your buttons if you don't recognize when it's happening, right? So kind of be aware, because anybody who's built their life or has a lifestyle where they are this sort of emotional vampire or this person who relies on other people feeling sorry for them, like they feed off of it, right? Or relies on people trying to figure out the solutions for them because they just don't want to do it themselves. Whatever the issue is, there are people, and they're so good at it, that they will literally push your buttons. And it kind of reminds me of a story when my grandmother was caring for her elderly aunt, and she was my Aunt Joy, and she was this little bitty lady with, she always wore hats, and she was the sweetest lady. Like, I loved her and adored her all my life. But as she got older, she got kind of snarky and a little bit difficult, let's say. And my grandmother was helping to care for her, and she would go and pick her up and take her places and do things. And she would come home and I would see her, and she would just be so drained and so unhappy. And I kept asking her, I said, what is going on? You know, and I'm thinking to myself, little Aunt Joy, who I love and adore and who is a sweet lady, for all intents and purposes, I was like thinking to myself, I'm like, why does this little lady, she's like, she couldn't have weighed 80 pounds soaking wet. She was dinky. How is she draining you so much that when you come home, you look like you need a like 3-hour nap? Like, what's going on? And she said, she goes, you know, ever since she's gotten older and has required care, she's just become nasty. She's just mean. She says things to make me feel bad and to hurt my feelings. So my Aunt Joy, this little bitty lady, was, she had quite literally figured out what my grandmother's buttons were and would push them on a regular basis. And whether it be a guilt trip of, oh, well, I'll just take the bus and figure out a way to do it. You know, if she called for a ride and my grandmother said, you know, I can't take you right now, we'll have to go tomorrow. Then I'll just take the bus. It's okay. You don't have to worry about me. It's not, I'm sure that I'll be fine. You know, even though it's really hard for me to walk to the bus stop. And, you know, so she would kind of guilt my grandmother into changing her plans to go and pick her up and take her. And then when she was with her, she was like, well, you know, you would be so pretty if you didn't have that little bit of extra weight on you. So it was sort of like that compliment, insult hidden in a compliment type of thing. So she was really good at that. So my grandmother would just tell me these stories about what was going on. And I'm thinking to myself, man, Aunt Joy, just like she did, she got real nasty toward the end. And I think it was because she didn't like the fact that she couldn't care for herself anymore. And it's definitely a matter of pride. So it was real easy for her to, you know, reach out and lash out at my grandmother. But, you know, and it ended up being that I would go with her towards the end when she went to go see my Aunt Joy. I said, well, you take me with you next time, because I guarantee you she won't behave that way in front of me because she doesn't want anybody else to know she's being snarky. And sure enough, she was good as gold. She was good as gold when my grandmother took me with her. So it kind of became a routine. But I talked to my grandmother and I said, you know, just don't let her push your buttons. Don't let her make you feel bad. But you do. You have to stay aware of your emotions, because anybody who's really good at what they do, they know what things to say and what buttons to push. And because they know you're a good person or they know that you want to help, they will deliberately, you know, put it in a way or say it in a way or, you know, set the stage in a way where it almost makes it impossible for you to say no. Like it almost takes, it's impossible for you to not engage, right? So, you know, if they say here, you know, in the article, if a mentally unstable person approaches you on the street and tells you he's John F. Kennedy, you're unlikely to set him straight. You're not going to engage with him to try and convince him that he's not John F. Kennedy, right? You're just going to kind of go, okay, and walk away and nod and smile. And you know, just kind of keep going. So think of it like that. You know, if think of them like they're a crazy person. If they're saying all these things, just go, huh, okay, that's interesting. Don't engage, you know. And I have to do this a lot with my son as well. My son with the developmental delays, he has issues where when he gets really upset or angry about something, he really wants to fight. Like he really wants to argue. And it almost becomes, and it a lot of times becomes not about the issue that he has, it's about the fight, right? He wants that engagement. He wants me to engage with him. And so I have to stop and remember that if I engage with him in this and I argue with him, it's just going to get worse and it's going to get worse because that's what he wants. He wants that conflict. He doesn't, it's really not even necessarily about the topic he's upset about. He wants the conflict. And so, and here's the funny part is if I won't argue with him about whatever that topic is, he'll change the subject to try and find something that will piss me off enough to actually engage with him. Right? And I'm sure that there's a lot of people that you've been involved with that maybe have done the same thing. Like you won't fight with them about that issue. So they bring up something else that they know will push your buttons just to get you to engage. Right? And you just have to walk away. Just walk away. Just be like, you know what? I'm not having this conversation with you, and just go. I do that with my son all the time. I'm like, I'm not discussing this with you. I'm in a good mood today and I'd like to stay that way. So when you're done with your little tirade, you can come talk to me like a big kid and we'll discuss it then. Right. And about 20 minutes later, he's like, okay, Mom, I'm calmed down. Let's talk, you know, and it works out better. So definitely be aware of your emotions and know what things are pushing your buttons and what are sensitive topics for you, because those are the things that people are going to use to sort of try and nudge you and bring them back. They're going to try and bring you back in. No matter how many times you try and get out, they're going to try and bring you back in. So always be aware of that. You know, and the next thing is establishing boundaries, right? And that kind of goes along with what we were just talking about. It's kind of funny how one of these flows right into the next, you know, it's definitely something that, you know, because, and it says here, you know, establishing boundaries is a place where people sell themselves short because they feel like if they work or live with someone, they have no way to control the chaos. And that's actually, you know, not true. You know, once you realize that you need to be able to sort of distance yourself and you know, disconnect from it, it will give you the ability to sort of set up those boundaries, just like I talked about, where I talk to my son and say, look, you and I can't have a serious conversation when you're angry because you just want to fight. So when you can calm down, then you can come and talk to me, right? He tries to drag me in and I set up that boundary of this is the only way you and I are going to discuss this, right? So, you know, you just got to, and like it says in the article, stick to your guns, keep those boundaries in place. When they try and kind of push in on them, which they will, you got to stick to it. You know, if it's a coworker, it's like, you know, I cannot talk to you about a personal problem while we're at work, right? And just keep that boundary. You know, I really don't feel comfortable getting into personal issues while at work. You know, whatever the boundary is that you set, you stick to it, right? It's like, you know, if they're trying to talk to you while you're supposed to be working, right? Just say, I'm sorry, we can't talk about this right now. You know, if they're talking to you about their husband who's cheating on them and you're getting sucked in, just be, you know, I'm sorry, but I really don't feel comfortable talking about your marriage in the workplace, you know, or whatever the case may be. You know, it's really up to you how you're going to set those boundaries up. But once you do, you guys just got to stick to it, because people will. They'll try and suck you in. They really will. And, you know, one of my favorite ones is this one. It's number 6 of, you know, the best way successful people, you know, deal with toxic people. They don't let anyone limit their joy. When your sense of pleasure and satisfaction are derived from the opinions of other people, you are no longer the master of your own happiness. And I love that line. The guy who wrote this is wonderful. His name is Travis Bradbury. I love this. Okay. And I'll read it again because it's a really, really good line. When your sense of pleasure and satisfaction are derived from the opinions of other people, you are no longer the master of your own happiness, which is so true. I mean, think about it, you know, and that's one of the reasons why a lot of toxic people have the problems that they have, if you truly think about it, because they are latching their happiness onto something or someone else, right? If, you know, and think about all of the really, you know, successful people and the real, like, just, you know, amazing people. Think of all the famous people and the successful people that you can kind of think of. And honestly think to yourself, do they really care what anyone thinks of them? Like, they've made their life what it is just simply because they feel good about themselves, who they are, where they're going, what they're doing, right? And, you know, obviously, you know, like he says in the article, it's impossible to turn off your reactions to what others think of you. You know, you don't compare yourself to other people. You take people's opinions with a grain of salt. I mean, I love this part of his article. It's so amazing. Seriously, like, when I was with my ex, I felt bad about myself because I didn't know where I stood with him. My sense of who I was became latched onto the way he treated me and the way our relationship was going, right? I started feeling like the reason that our relationship was the way it was because I was doing something wrong, or the person that I was wasn't enough, or I needed to be different, right? And so I adjusted, I changed, I kind of twisted myself into an emotional pretzel to try and make it work. And in the end, we split up. And after, you know, the initial breakup and the, you know, upset and being, you know, the crying and the anger and all those fun little emotions that you go through when you break up with someone. But then there was the clarity, right? The looking back and going, holy crap, like, what was I doing? What did I do? Right? I've spent the last almost 7 years of my life single, completely celibate, just completely done, like, just spent 7 years of my life, because I came out of that relationship with my ex, and I felt like I didn't even know who I was anymore. And I had to get back to me. I had to get back to the person that I was. I had to get back to a stronger foundation of myself, because it was imperative for my own health, but also to be a good mom to my kids, right? To be a good parent. I needed to be able to have a solid idea of myself and who I was and what I wanted and that. And it was really important, really important. And so now I can't imagine, like, and that's like, I think back and I think to myself of, you know, my daughter says stuff like, I wish you and daddy were still together. And I look at it and go, God, not a chance in hell. Not a chance in hell. Because there is no way I want to take on that drama again. There is no way that I want to be with somebody who limits my joy. Like, who changes my opinion of myself or makes me feel like I have to change who I am in order to be with them, right? That's not healthy. It's not healthy for anybody, right? So the same goes with friends, right? Anybody, you know, who makes you feel like you are not good enough, or, you know, it's really amazing how people, like I said, the emotional vampires, they suck the life right out of you. They suck the joy out of you. And those are the people to really stay away from, because, you know, if they can't figure it out, if they can't get that happiness from themselves, no amount of what you do is going to help, right? They're going to try and steal your joy and your happiness and your, you know, what you have, because what you have is what they want, right? They are lacking something. That's why they're unhappy. That's why they're toxic, right? And so they are going to try and suck it out of you because you have it. That's why they latched you, right? So that's definitely a huge one. And I, like I said, I love that line that he typed. You know, toxic people, or successful people rather, instead of toxic, the way that they avoid toxic people is, number 7, they don't focus on problems, they focus on solutions, which is very true. I mean, anybody who's going to be successful, you know, because everybody runs into problems, everybody runs into issues, everybody has crap that happens, you know, negativity, stress, like problems at work, problems at home, bad things happen, you know, but if you focus on the solution, not the problem, right? You focus on, okay, this happened, it sucks, I processed it, now what do I need to do about it? How can I make this better? What's my next step, right? And the people who are going to be toxic in your lives are the ones that will wallow. They will wallow in whatever misery came their way. My ex left me, my husband left me, you know, my ex cheated on me, or, oh, I lost my job, or, oh, this, or, oh, that, you know, and they're very, very unhappy, but they're not, they're focusing on that, the misery, instead of the solution that would help them get out of it, right? And that's key. That's huge. It's a huge thing, right? It's a huge thing to be able to look at your situation and go, okay, this really sucks, but what am I going to do about it? How am I going to fix it? How am I going to improve it? Right? That's huge. Being able to do that is so important. You know, the next one is they don't forget. You know, emotionally intelligent people are quick to forgive, but that doesn't mean they forget. Forgive, yes, because, you know, forgiveness is so important, because you don't want to just let stuff eat at you. You've got to be able to forgive people. And I know I say that, and it's something that I work on every single day. It's not easy. Totally not easy. Like I said, you know, in one of my past podcasts, you know, my boys' father, I still haven't forgiven him. It's a very difficult thing to forgive, you know, especially when I'm faced every single day with the consequences of his actions. You know, watching my son struggle, both of my children struggle, because they have a brain injury that they wouldn't have had their father not done what he did. And that's a huge, huge, hard thing to forgive. And I'm still working on it. It's, you know, I'm human. I'm not perfect. And so forgiveness is a hard one to come by for that. But, you know, I forgive my ex, you know, for the hurt that he caused. I forgive him for, you know, a lot of the things that went on. That doesn't mean I forget. I haven't forgotten, you know. Forgiving somebody for hurting you is different than acting like it never happened and giving them a chance to do it again. you know, if somebody, you know, it doesn't, you, just because you forgive them doesn't mean that you'll necessarily give them another chance. It's totally up to you, but, you know, don't let it don't let it affect you. Like, don't let it says here, successful people are unwilling to be bogged down unnecessarily by others' mistakes. So they let them go and are assertive in protecting themselves from future harm. Right? I let it go. You made a mistake. People make mistakes, but I'm going to be wary in the future. You know, you may not trust them as much as you used to. That type of thing. Squashing negative self-talk. Huge, huge. It's so important to be really positive about yourself. You know, we talked about this in the Loving Yourself podcast. How important is it to love yourself and to think highly of yourself? You know, you can't expect other people to think highly of you if you don't think highly of you. If you don't take pride in who you are, then why should anyone else, right? If you are positive about who you are, you know, you can't beat yourself down. If you beat yourself down, you're just doing somebody else's job for them. Like, there are going to be people in this world who are going to try and beat you down, who are going to try to talk down to you. Why in the world would you do that to yourself? Right? There's a great Dove commercial, I think it's Dove, where they asked women to write down what they think about themselves. Like, oh, I'm too fat, or I'll never get a man, or, you know, my hair looks really mousy, or blah, blah, blah. And they ended up taking these women to like a cafe, and they had some actors talk to each other the way that these women were talking to themselves, and they listened to it and they were just shocked. They were like, oh my God, I can't believe that lady is saying that to that other person. Like, how could she talk to her like that? It's so rude. But it was what they were saying to themselves, right? So why would you wouldn't let anybody else talk to you like that. Why would you talk to yourself that way, right? So totally squash negative talk, because, you know, like the article says, there's nothing wrong with feeling bad about how someone is treating you, but your self-talk can intensify the negativity that they send you, or, you know, it can help you move past it, right? So if somebody says to you, God, you look really fat in those pants, you could say, you know what? I think I look good in these pants, right? I think I look fine in these pants. Why would I let their opinion of me change my opinion of me, right? And that's why it's so important to be able to, if you have toxic people in your life, you know, being able to deal with those toxic people, if you feel good about you and you're not talking negatively about you, if those toxic people start talking negatively about you, then you don't have to worry about it because you don't feel it. It doesn't bother you, right? They also talk about, you know, limiting caffeine and getting sleep. The caffeine, I really can't do right now. I'm trying to limit it, but obviously getting a good night's sleep makes you more positive, makes you creative, more proactive. So, you know, having a good night's sleep, if you have to deal with a toxic person, if you have only 2 hours of sleep under your belt or four, you're not going to deal with them as well as you would if you had 8 hours. I don't deal with my children as well when I've only had 4 hours of sleep as opposed to 8 hours of sleep. So toxic people is even worse. So always make sure you get enough sleep. And then the last one they put here is they use their support system. It says it's tempting yet entirely ineffective to attempt tackling everything by yourself. To deal with toxic people, you need to recognize the weakness in your approach to them. So if you know that you are not capable of vocalizing to someone that you need time or space, if you need to have that buddy come with you and say, hey, look, man, like, and they could be your wingman, right? Just be, wow, you are very, you know, negative. Or why are you expecting her to deal with your problems? Why aren't you dealing with this, right? Maybe having that support with you to just help, you know, or even just be there as an emotional support for you, or, you know, just somebody to talk to about the problems that you're having with this toxic person. Just say, look, you know, I've got this friend, and this is the way she is, and it drains me. You know, sometimes being able to have that support to say, okay, look, then why are you letting them? You know, the next time they say this, try this. You know, get that support that you need to help deal with the toxic people in your life. If, you know, because sometimes you can't just get rid of them. It's not like, you know, sometimes it's your family. It's really, really important to be able to have that support system. And if, you know, for some people it is their family, for some people they need the support system to help them with their family, right? So everybody's situation is different. But what is very key and what is very crucial and very important and the biggest takeaway from this podcast today is please, 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 if you have toxic people in your life or those types of toxic relationships, you know, use these steps to help manage it. You know, sometimes you just have to cut your losses and run. Sometimes you have to be able to emotionally distance yourself from them. And that doesn't mean that you're not their friend or that you don't love them or you don't care for them. It's just, you know, whatever they've got going on or the way that they're dealing with their life, you can't be the person that fixes it for them. You can't be the person who is emotionally attached to it because it isn't your life. It's theirs. And you have your own life and your own emotions and your own struggles that you have to deal with. And to take on the struggles of someone else who needs to be able to handle them themselves is doing you a disservice, but it's also doing them a disservice. If they're not going to ever be able to take on these problems, if somebody is always doing it for them, they are never going to realize what they need to change in their lives in order to be successful. If you are always picking up the slack for them, or if you are always that person who's like, oh, you poor thing, I'm so sorry. Like, if you give credit to whatever they're doing, and you enforce that behavior by not standing up to it or changing the way that you deal with it, they're never going to change because there's no reason for them to, right? So sort of a tough love thing as well on that part. So I hope that you found this helpful. Again, please go take a look at this article. It definitely goes, you know, into a little more depth than some of the talking points. I loved it. I think it's a very, very good article. And I will post the link for it again at the bottom. If you like this article, I would love to hear a comment below. Please feel free and share any times that you've had to deal with a toxic person, or if you're currently dealing with a toxic person, you know, my mother-in-law, or my ex-mother-in-law, or my parents, or my friend. We definitely would love to hear your stories and how you plan on taking on that toxicity and sort of stepping away from it and being able to be successful in dealing with these types of situations. And again, if you like this podcast, please do subscribe. Have a wonderful week, and we'll talk to you soon. You've been listening to the Single Mom Podcast, the place to go for support, encouragement, and maybe a few laughs along the way. Please also make sure you head on over to the Single Mom blog for more great stuff for single moms. We have resources, free things to print out, great articles. Can't wait to see you there. Be sure to leave feedback and comments because we love hearing from other single moms. And if you like this podcast, please be sure to subscribe.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.